Right now, we're going to be talking with Alan Newman, president of Historic Hudson, with offices here in Hudson. And Alan, I know you're eager to talk about your event coming up on, when is it, September 1st?
Correct.
So take it away.
Well, we at Historic Hudson, our large project over the last 20 years, which could completely consume a single organization, has been restoring the Dr. Oliver Bronson House National Historic Landmark up on the hill, hidden on the Hudson Correctional Facility. But we are obsessed with the entire city of Hudson and trying to make it a livable, breathable, living city to hand on beautifully to the future. I think everyone here has probably listening has heard that the city of Hudson has recently received from the state government a $10 million grant.
Well, we'll receive it in the future.
Well,
it's
been announced.
Right.
Announced. And that is from 2nd Street down to the river, the width of the city of Hudson. Historic Hudson takes that waterfront seriously. And last year, we have an annual meeting every year. We decided to hold it at a very forlorn site that the city owns that we wanted to draw attention to. And that is the last remaining now, this year, the last remaining industrial warehouse on the waterfront, the Dunn Warehouse. This beautiful, empty building. It's owned by all of us in the city. It's owned by the city of Hudson with 2.2 acres. So we to call it the Dunn Warehouse site.
I didn't realize it had that much
And
land.
Those of you who know this red brick warehouse that's on the other side of the railroad tracks on the riverside, facing the waterfront park, the land going north up the hill all the way to what will be the new Ferry Street crossing bridge, that is the 2.2 acre site.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize that was part of the site.
And we're trying to call attention to this. And my fantasy for years has been to sit down there and have a good glass of wine towards sunset and watch the water.
A good glass or good wine?
A good glass or two of wine.
Or good wine
or
in a good glass.
Or a glass or four of wine. But it is a fantasy that I hope everyone in the city, once they come down and see this in the afternoon, can join us with. So on Friday, September 1st, it's the Friday evening of the beginning of Labor Day weekend, from 4 to 7 p.m., you can come down to the Dunn Warehouse Yard directly across the tracks from the Amtrak station and join Historic Hudson for a benefit. It's a fenced-in enclosure. There will be a ticket entrance. We've kept it as a benefit extremely affordable to try to make it open to all to come join us and support Historic Hudson. And we are teaming up with good wine and good food, Ellen smiles, and our neighbors on Warren Street, actually they're bookends of the Hudson Opera House. Hudson Wine Merchants will be working with us in supplying the wines, and Talbot and Arting Cheese and Provisions will be pairing food to go with the wines. We'll have a big tent. We consider ourselves a big tent organization. Try to make it open and available to all. And so we'll be featuring one wine importer called Blue Danube Wines that specializes in Central European wines. So they've chosen three wines to feature. And Chef Mona Talbot, who is a narrative chef, she likes to take the challenge of an idea, will be pairing food with each of the wines. And she'll be pairing it with local food from local farms. And we're still 3 weeks out, so she doesn't quite know what exact food it will be, because she'll be pairing what the farmers have fresh for it.
And is that what a narrative chef does?
Yes.
What is a narrator?
She takes an idea and narrates it and runs with it. I had a lovely time with a group of people at Olana, and I asked for a custom-made picnic looking up the hill at that Persian Moorish fantasy, and she produced for us a Persian picnic.
Oh, my goodness.
It was sublime. Ending with peppermint tea and rose candies. So just wait what she pairs with this.
Yes.
But the wines are quite interesting indeed. There's a Hungarian sparkling wine, a Slovenian white wine, and a Croatian red wine. And so those three will each have food paired with them. So you'll have small bites included in your ticket price. And because we are what we are, we're offering a fourth fun wine for to taste on the way in.
It now, wait a minute. Paired with this food. Sounds like a red, white, and blue affair.
It's red, white, and orange.
Well, what about...
So have you heard of orange wine?
No, I have
well,
not.
It's
I've
a
heard
thing.
Of the blue nun.
Well, have you? Did you know that orange wine is a thing?
I did not.
And it's a new thing, but it's actually an ancient thing. So I know you've probably heard of rosé wine, pink wine.
Yes.
Well, you leave the skins in, and it turns it pink, and it enhances the flavor. Well, this is a very traditional Croatian way of making wine, of leaving the skins in, and it turns it an amber-orange color. It's not red wine. It's not white wine. People might have heard of orange wine. This is your chance to buy a reasonably priced ticket and come in and taste. Michael Albin, Marianne Kerville from Hudson Wines, they're providing a card when you come in, and you'll be able to get a discount on that wine with the card when you go up to their shop. So it'll be a fun time to look at the water. We've timed it to be just before it gets dark because there's no electricity.
What time is the sun going to set?
The sun sets at 7:35. The party is from 4 to 7.
So we'll be there when the sun is setting.
So this 4 to 7 time slot is timed for 6 trains to arrive. So those of you who come by train.
In case you want to make
on Friday night.
Trains on Friday night from the south.
And
three trains Friday night from the north.
No kidding.
And guess what else? 2 ferries from Athens.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
So you can come by rail.
Hudson Cruises.
By foot.
Ferry boat.
By water.
Or bicycle.
I guess you could come by parachute. But it is a fundraiser for Hudson, for Historic Hudson. And we are trying to focus on this site to bring the public down there and say that we have a stake in this. And with this new infusion of planning funds and the proposal that the governor's committees approved, the stabilization and restoration of this site is a priority project for them. And the adaptive, sort of reuse and the first phase of this is really important for this project. And so we want to bring the public down there to see it. Imagine it, and to imagine something beautiful and productive. So come, think with us. We'll also be having auction items, which is always fun. But we have an intern in our office at Historic Hudson.
You're going to auction off your intern?
No.
I could use an intern.
She came up with this idea.
I'll raise
we
my hand.
We love her dearly. Yeah. Lucy Houston. She's a Hudsonite who just graduated from Syracuse University and is working with us this summer. We have this collection of historic photographs called the Rolls Collection at Historic Hudson. And we have 300 glass plate negatives.
Wow.
So we have gone through and selected 12. Which we are going to do high-quality scans and make prints and have a silent auction. And some of them are images you've never seen.
Wow.
And we're focusing on water ships, waterfront. Some we say the Dunn Building is the last industrial building on the water. It is. But we have photos of previous ones that are now gone. and
interesting.
So it'll be a lot of
slaughterhouses and
oil works and this and that,
all kinds of things.
And oh, and there are some, you know, you always sort of imagine Warren Street, but it's hard to imagine it when it's dirt and it has little tiny trees and it's shortly after 1855 and then you suddenly see, oh, that's the Hudson Opera House. And it looks like a Wild West town until there's this memorable object there. So we know it's post-1855, but pre-paving.
Yes.
Pre-paving and rutted.
Alan, I have to tell you that I looked at this very attractive card for Drinks on the Waterfront, and I read it as Drunks on the Waterfront.
Well, no, there won't be.
And then I thought, that's probably not right.
No.
But pretty soon we'll have dunks on the waterfront when we're able to swim in the water, Hudson.
But we're within that fenced-in enclosure, so it's contained, and there will be a big tent.
So you're keeping.
And by the way, this is rain or shine.
Righto.
Oh, rain or shine.
We have Plan B, and we've reserved a much larger tent for rain or shine. And we have generous donors working with us, underwriting our expenses, which I should give a shout out. The Bartlett House is giving us generously, supplying the food from the local farms. And we have Two Note, Carolyn Mix and Darcy are going to be providing music. And
oh,
they
nice.
Really make a party. And Colin Stair of Stair Galleries is our major financial underwriter for this to pay our expenses, along with John Knott and Quadrille Fabrics. And they're supporting us and our view of trying to make a better waterfront for the future of Hudson that
now,
honors its history.
Yeah, right. Alan, I wanted to ask you, the waterfront is not part of Hudson's historical district, is it or is it?
Parts.
Parts of it are?
Parts of it are.
Like what parts?
And, it's actually, it depends on how it's regulated. So this grant that is coming from the state.
From the state.
$10 million grant.
It is everything below 2nd Street. And so Promenade Hill, the park, is within the historic district. All of those areas south of that area are in the historic area. Historic district. However, and those of you who maybe have been following the recent brouhaha of the rock escarpment that Amtrak has been what word should I use? Desecrating.
Threatening.
Yeah.
We did find out that it is not in the city historic district, but it is in the National Register historic district, which is actually more important.
Absolutely.
You mean Promenade Hill?
This is below Promenade Hill. Promenade Hill to the fence is in our historic district. The other side of the railroad tracks, but that Amtrak area is not, but it's in the National Register Historic District, and also importantly is in the New York State Coastal Management Zone.
Really?
So we as a community have a seat at the table, and a stop work order was put in place. Historic Hudson was there. We made a lot of phone calls. It took 2 weeks to stop the work so we can evaluate it. It's not to halt it. It's so that we can understand it and do something correct.
This is to stop them from spraying on something that sounds like concrete.
Spraying on something, it's called shotcrete.
Yeah.
But they've been drilling holes, and we actually don't know the full extent of the project, and we have not seen an engineering study. So that is why historic preservation organizations are important. To make phone calls, to get public officials involved, and to, enhance our historic areas. So we're engaged, we're involved, and we're doing that. So.
Ellen, tell us what's happening with the Bronson House. Our listeners might want to know when the next tour is happening when they can actually go inside the house.
The Dr. Oliver Bronson house, we only can go there by prior appointment. I had to make appointments to take people there yesterday.
Oh, that's because it's on the grounds.
It's on the grounds of a prison, so please do not go on your own. There are guards with guns.
Just don't go wandering
and
around.
And you can get arrested. Yeah. But we are having a chamber music concert on Sunday, September 17th, which will be glorious. And it is Sunday afternoon. We had one earlier this year. In June, and this one will be string quartets with Schubert, Mendelssohn, and Schumann. There's an octagonal parlor, and the four instruments are in the octagon, and the audience is on the sides. Mm-hmm. The acoustics are breathtakingly beautiful. Mm. The tickets are affordable. Mm-hmm. And it is underwritten by the Hudson River Bank and Trust for us, and along with Steve Dunn and Daniel Talapa, we're also donors to help underwrite our expenses for that. And it will be the orchestra now from Bard College and a quartet from there.
Mm-hmm. I went to the first concert. It was lovely.
So beautiful.
So it's so wonderful to be inside that house.
I can't help but think what the Bronsons asked the architect, A.J. Davis, in 1849, when they doubled the size of their house, what did they ask for? Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think that they asked for chamber music. These parlors are just perfectly suited. The acoustics are gorgeous. And it fits a crowd beautifully in a triple parlor opening out to the west. So we've had all kinds of comments from the musicians who play about how gorgeous the acoustics are. Mm-hmm. And in fact, last year, a group of young musicians from a group called Contemporaneous put on a concert. All five of the composers for the five pieces were there. They refused on a hot day to open the windows. And the response was, wait till you hear it. They didn't want to hear the rustling of the leaves outside. The acoustics were perfect.
Yeah. And my goodness.
You don't hear music without air conditioning anymore or ventilation.
Right.
So,
yes.
Anyway, so that's coming up.
Always a hum in the background.
Fun. And we always try to open the house for free to the public on a day in the fall, and we haven't set a date yet, but more and more people are coming and asking us, and we will be opening it this fall at some point.
Wonderful. If you've just joined us, this is the Thursday afternoon show with Debbie and Ellen, and we're talking to Alan Newman from Historic Hudson. So those are the activities that Historic Hudson is doing in the city, and this is WGXC Acra, 90.7 on your radio dial. Alan, take it away.
You know, we have another project coming up that people should know about, and it's on October 1st. Mm-hmm. And we have an annual meeting every year, and this year marks the 20th year since Historic Hudson opened the Bronson House for the first time for people to see.
Oh, wow.
20 years.
It was in August of 1997.
August 15th. I remember.
And I was there, and it was like the house had been rumored to be existing.
Yes.
And it took days to clear the garbage from around it. It took a whole day to take the plywood off the windows. And this community was dazzled. And 20 years later, we've invested $1 million in stabilizing and made it a National Historic Landmark. So this year, we're going to highlight another endangered property in our community as the 20th anniversary of that. And it's a building that stands that people will say, oh, that one. Mm. And when I tell you what it is, but it's part of the founding story of the history of Hudson. And a man named Jan van Hosen got a land grant purchased from the Native Americans in 1662. And it was everything from Stockport Creek to Mount Marino, mm-hmm. and all the way back to Claverick Creek. And in 1667, that was honored by the British. And his grandson built a house that still stands. It's a red brick Dutch farmhouse on Route 66, the old turnpike. And you can see something called the Dutch Village.
Yes, the trailer park. It's right there next to the Dutch Village.
Right there. And there's a new owner for the trailer park. He's very supportive of this small organization that's struggling to maintain this house. And we're going to bring people there, and you will be able to come inside maybe 10 at a time to see this incredible artifact. It's intact.
Only 10 people because we don't want to put too much weight on the floorboards.
Yeah. And it has its woodwork from it's 1715 or 1720. Mm. It has an overlay of maybe 1815 or 1820 of federal woodwork sort of added. The initials are in the brick on the outside. And we'll be having lemonade and iced tea outside and bring the people in to highlight, you know, something that's extremely important to our community. And it's part of our origin myth.
Yeah. Alan, is Mr. Van Hoosen, is that the gentleman that you described owned all this land?
Yes. Jan Van Hoosen.
Jan Van Hoosen. Hoosen.
Yes, Van Hoosen. Yes.
Was the person, was he not, that the proprietors bought land from?
Yes.
To create, was it the North Bay and the South Bay and where we now, what we now think of as the city of Hudson?
The city of Hudson was carved out of that. I don't know if he owned that piece by then. And this would have been his great-grandchildren selling it. But I do know one of his grandsons owned what was called from the Wagon Way South. And the Wagon Way was Partition Street, which was down to the river, which is an old Dutch wagon way down to the water. And I'm not certain of that transaction, but it is what became Hudson. Was with this large tract of land, and it's interesting. In talking to people, and I was there with Carol Osterink, and we got inside. And indeed, the land grant was to Claverick Creek, and this house is built just on the other side of Claverick Creek, and it's thought that this grandson inherited that piece of land on the other side of the creek from his wife, who was a Whitbeck. Those of you who know the Whitbecks in the area, she was a Whitbeck and inherited land in Claverick. So it's thought that it was then part of their marriage. So it'll be fun, and that's Sunday, October 1.
Can I just say that I am just overwhelmed with how the great interest that people have in the history of where we are privileged to be living. For example, in Kinderhook, they've had a series of history walks where like 30, 40 people will show up and they walk with a person who obviously has knowledge of the particular thing they're looking at. And it's been very, very popular. And I'm just waiting for the day when Historic Hudson institutes
more
little
walks.
Tours.
Well, we're working on it. There's only so much we can do. But we're working on it. And actually, Carol Osterick, who is on the Historic Hudson board, put together a tour this summer for the... a senior moment. The name of the painter, Sanford Gifford, his show is Sanford Gifford in the Catskills, was a Hudson boy his whole life. The Gifford family came to Hudson, and she gave a tour of Gifford-related sites to the, 20 family members.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
And the Gifford house was the parking lot that is now the farmer's market. But there's so much interest. I was so moved when the governor came to Hudson on October 1st to Hudson Hall.
October 1st?
August 1st.
August 1st.
I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
August 1st. And our mayor, Tiffany Martin Hamilton, mm-hmm. our assembly member, Dee Dee Barrett, and our governor, Andrew Cuomo, all gave speeches that said the history, the architecture, and the culture are what makes Hudson unique. And that is what we care about at Historic Hudson.
Yes.
And it's so satisfying that our elected officials know that and support that. And that's why we're trying to bring people to these sites to get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
We have young photographers, and they find us through Instagram, by the way. We got 100 new Instagram followers yesterday.
That's great.
And they contact Historic Hudson that they want to photograph the Bronson House.
Uh-huh.
And our
100 of them wanted to?
Well, no, but that we got new followers yesterday. But like, people will call, and our executive director, Lisa Weilbecker, mm-hmm. will group them into a day mm-hmm. and say, here's the deal. You have to join as a member to Historic Hudson.
Very good.
And
excellent.
I'll group 10 or sometimes 15 of you in a day. They come. So I go up there and start saying, well, how did you hear about it?
Yes.
Where are you coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one couple said, oh, we drove here from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
We're spending the weekend in Hudson because we wanted to photograph the Bronson House.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where did you hear about it?
Yeah.
They saw the Bourne Legacy.
It was in the film.
Yeah, the Universal Pictures film.
Oh,
my
goodness.
And they tracked down the house and decided they had to go there.
Good for them.
A young man from Providence, Rhode Island, drove mm-hmm. all the way here just to photograph it.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
getting a lot of young people in their early 20s who grew up in suburban New Jersey who I think are hungering for real, authentic architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't get enough of it.
Uh-huh.
And it's very, very satisfying to see.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out what to do with that.
Yes.
It's fun. And one, I want to bring him to the waterfront.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a fun challenge.
Can we get back to the Dunn Warehouse for a minute?
Certainly.
Did it start out, I believe it did, as a gasification place where, and I don't know what that means even.
You know, I don't really either, other than I've seen the maps, and it is called the Gas Works.
Huh.
And I do know that it's had multiple occupancies over the years.
Well, it was the mm-hmm. Dunn warehouse.
For the lumberyard,
where
the Dunn
yeah,
lumber.
The
but it's
lumber.
Had multiple yeah. uses over time.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who goes down there can see ghost images on the sides of the building.
Oh.
It was the center of a much larger complex of buildings.
Mm.
And it warms my heart that we have the capability of adding on to it to mm-hmm. do something quite incredible and make some living, breathing space down there that
right.
will bring you down to the water. I dream, by the way,
mm-hmm.
of a potential farmer's market down there
mm-hmm.
under an open shed.
A lot of people
think
have that
about it.
Thought.
And
mm-hmm.
I dream of having a place to watch sunset,
mm-hmm.
have a little bite. Mm-hmm.
You know,
maybe a glass of orange wine.
The sunset. It is so important in Hudson that
Promenade Hill at sunset.
I mm-hmm. I find myself calling my neighbor and saying, "Did you go to your window? Go to your window.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till you see this sunset. We've had spectacular
yes,
sunsets
haven't
lately."
We?
But
yes.
but also think about it. There's nowhere to go have a drink and sit at sunset on this side of the river,
unless you're a member of the Hudson Powerboat
Association.
You know, that's
open to the public. And you know, the places that are on the west bank of the river, mm-hmm. they don't get to look at sunset in the mountains. And, you know, a crowd gathers at Olana for sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And
do they?
We own this in Hudson, and we can do something with this. And I'm not certain what,
mm-hmm.
but I'm convinced now more than ever that we must do something.
And
we must do something.
Yeah. Is the Dunn Warehouse part of the historic district or any historic district?
I believe so, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not looking at the map.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
mm-hmm.
But, you know, I recently looked at the earliest aerial photograph I've been able to find of Hudson from 1952.
Uh-huh.
And it's before everything was torn down.
Right.
And it is riveting. It's before urban renewal came and cleaned up the area below Second Street. And in a way, with this announcement of the state money, we're able to revisit some of those perhaps not very good decisions and reconnect that waterfront and that part of to our community and work with the whole community on it. From north to south, all the way to Second Street, to make it a place where people want to live, people want to visit, and people want to watch sunset.
Right. So, the Sunset City.
Sunset City. Maybe that's a new moniker.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. Is that why we're having orange wine, Ellen?
Do we need... It sounds sort of Dutch to me. Okay. You know, the orange and blue flags.
There you go. Okay. We're not having blue food that I know of.
But you mentioned a company that had blue in its
name.
The
Blue Danube Wine Importers.
You see, there's blue in there someplace.
I've had the great good fortune to go to a number of the third floor tastings that Michael Albin and Marianne Corville put on.
5 to 7 on Fridays.
Well, no, these are like... several hours. And,
yeah,
and
these are big deal tastings.
And they feature some of these Blue Danube wines. And you're really tasting is, you know, the communist era sort of obliterated winemaking. And some of these makers since 1990 are going back to traditional organic wine making. They treat their vines with horse manure. They do traditional winemaking. This orange wine is an old tradition. You're tasting flavors that the Habsburg emperors tasted.
Wow.
In the 18th and 19th century. And they're bringing back all of these interesting flavors. And this one winemaker, Jean-Michel Morel, they will be tasting one of his wines called Cabage. I have had the fortune to meet him. He is French. And he found that he couldn't do what he wanted to do in Bordeaux. There's too many rules and restrictions, and he wanted to make ancient wines. So he bought land in Slovenia. His closest airport is Venice. It's right against Italy. And they're able to make these flavors that are ancient and lovely. So come, enjoy with us. Buy a reasonable ticket.
A reasonable ticket. I plan
I
to be there.
I can't say how much, Ellen tells me.
Right.
It's reasonable.
But it's reasonable. He says, this is Alan Newman from Historic Hudson telling you about their activities.
That's right.
On the WGXC Afternoon
Show.
Well,
I say, you couldn't have 4 glasses of wine for that price anywhere in the city.
Okay, then.
It's that reasonable.
Yes.
You know, I'm discombobulated sitting in the studio today because there's usually a clock up there.
I know.
Which I think I bought at the dollar store when we very first came and occupied this studio.
And what,
it was quite disturbing not to see
it there. And it got to be $1 and it quit?
It was
something
well, it
like
was
that.
Never,
yeah.
It was never quite on time. But we do have a we have a clock on the computer, is the real one we're supposed to
Which is the real one
watching.
Anyway. And we still have time.
And we still have time. But
I'm watching it.
Okay.
We have time to talk to Alan Newman from Historic Hudson. Okay.
So no drunks on the waterfront.
Right.
No, but you know, drinks. Drinks. Uh-huh. And, you know, there will be non-alcoholic beverages. Don't worry.
Of course.
Don't worry. And it's kid-friendly. Bring strollers. And the waterfront park is across on the water, and there are restrooms right there. So you can leave with a kid in a stroller, entertain them, or you can leave for the restroom and come back in.
Right.
And so it's nice. For 3 hours. You can come stay for an hour, stay for 3 hours. It's up to you.
Well, it sounds to me like Historic Hudson is really busy these days.
Very.
Always has been. And you have that wonderful collection of photographs, and people can go online, can't they? And
a few.
Has it been digitized?
A few you can see, but we had actually, I just was looking at it. It was completed in 2006. A complete conservation analysis and inventory and they were all categorized, put in sleeves, and numbered. And we have a finding aid and a three-ring binder. And so if people are interested, they can make an appointment to come
I know
see.
If you go to the planning board or the ZBA or any of those agencies, people are often looking for photographs of the building that they have acquired to see what it looked like before they bought it. Mm-hmm. You know,
oh, yeah.
You know, there are some surprising ones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes your hair just stands on end. Wait, I know that. I've seen on maps, and I'd never seen the photo before last week. Mm-hmm. But those of you who know 7th and Union Street, where the new police and courts building is.
Yes, okay.
That double parking lot and the medical building used to be a lake.
Really?
And it was there through the 1920s or 30s. Mm-hmm. And it was actually quite deep. Mm-hmm. And it was called the Steam Pond.
Hmm.
And when the railroad came in, the one that goes through right by the WGXC studios,
yes,
mm-hmm. it came. It was the first railroad in Columbia County.
Hmm.
It cut off the stream, and a pond was created.
Oh,
and it was used for fresh water to fill up steam engines.
That's why it was called
steam pond. Yeah. Isn't that glorious? From 1835.
It's fascinating.
And I was looking through, and it says Pond, 7th and Union Streets, mm-hmm. and there's a photo of it. And it was, by the way, a lower entrance. There was a gatehouse and a carriage drive and a footbridge. That's how you got to the Dr. Oliver Bronson house.
Oh,
that was a private villa until 1915 when the state bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but think that that little lower gatehouse was meant to be reflected in the pond.
Mm.
And one day that will be a future entrance point into a Bronson Park. And we're working hard towards this.
And
where
this is what I wanted
be?
To ask about
yeah.
that.
Well, how much time do you have?
Well,
you have
not a lot.
You have 10 minutes.
We have some.
Yeah. I just would like to report that we are having substantive conversations on a daily, weekly basis with officials in New York State. This is land that's owned by the people of the state of New York, not actively used by the Hudson Correctional Facility.
Right, you mean the grounds?
The grounds around.
Yes.
The Dr. Oliver Bronson House, we lease 1.223 acres.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have the complete circular driveway.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get permission every time we go there and sign in and sign out.
Mm-hmm.
We need to give 48 hours notice. Any workmen have to sign in and sign out, and so no visitors. But,
now, Alan, is that little gatehouse on Worth Avenue, is that always manned? There's always someone sitting in
there?
Oh, is that the gatehouse?
There are two tenant houses that people rent.
Oh.
And so we're looking at this as a future park. And it was just a year ago, we wrote a grant for the Bronson House to New York State, and we were denied the grant.
You didn't write a grant. You wrote a grant proposal.
We wrote a grant proposal. I'm sorry. Yes, we wrote a grant proposal. I misspoke. But we were denied in December of 2015 because 20 points or 20% of it were for economic development purposes. So in January of 2016, we sat down with our assembly member, with Dee Dee Barrett, and said, we've been talking about this park. We need to write a grant proposal that's due in June 2016 that talks publicly about the future of the park and what it could do for the economy in Hudson. And she put her hands on the table and said, so let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Let's hold meetings, which we started in January, February, March of 2016. We were successful in receiving a very large mid-six-figure grant from New York State that requires us to raise a match. Mm-hmm. And we got our economic development points from the state because of the potential future for this park, which you will be able to enter from 7th and Union Street, from Worth Avenue. And by the way, there is a longer-term proposal, and it will connect all the way up to Alana.
Wow.
And where would it, it's being talked about all over the state, and you'll be hearing. It's very, my hair is standing on end just talking about it.
And Alan Newman, where would the Union and 7th Street entry be approximately?
Well,
you got to walk across the parking lot or
people,
what?
People know where the police and courts building is, and when that was being designed, we talked about it, and there will be a place where you can walk between there and the railroad tracks. The city actually owns
Interesting.
Two lots.
Uh-huh.
There's a flag lot behind it.
Flag?
A flag lot, a flag-shaped lot.
Ah.
And so there's the front lot with the metal building, and there's a back lot. But in the design process, it was addressed and acknowledged as a potential future access point. We're looking at other access points also, and it's going to be a thrilling conversation in the next 5 years in this city. So, stay tuned. And what makes a city livable?
Mm-hmm.
What makes a city livable?
Yeah, we don't have very many big open spaces.
No.
The waterfront being one of them.
As one WAG said, well, this would be like having Olana right in the middle of the city of Hudson.
Really?
Think about it. I mean, this big villa,
beautiful
trails to walk. Mm-hmm. It would have a sunset view of the mountains.
Yeah.
And it was this elegant, elegant private estate until 1915.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually occupied as a single-family residence for the superintendent of the New York Training School for Girls until 1970.
Really?
So...
Wow.
There we are.
Well, we've been talking with Alan Newman.
Yes. What a pleasure.
Historian, president of Historic Hudson, and...
Friend of Hudson.
And it's been great fun. And we'll look for you and all of our friends on the waterfront on September 1st.
Take me to the river.
Take me to the
river. Oh, had I known, I would have got the song.
Friday night, come for a drink.
I'll get it for next week.
Kick off a holiday weekend, Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Alan, for coming and filling us in on all of this. It's been fun.